time for the ladies to be heard. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the third episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I'm joined by my sexy co-host, IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin. Chrissy.
Hello, Colette.
Hey. Chrissy, after last week's wrap-up show featuring the winners, which we had Jen Hendershot, we had Zaville, and we also spoke about Iris Kyle the week before. So we thought this week, why not have the bridesmaids of the Arnold Classic 2009 on our show, right?
Correct. I thought it was a wonderful idea because, I mean, runner-up, winner, they all look fabulous, and the bridesmaids definitely deserved a time on air like with the winner. So we are happy to say that on today's show, we have Miss Julie Palmer for fitness, and we also have Debbie for bodybuilding. But unfortunately, Gina Aliotti is not going to be able to join us this week. She said she would love to be on a future episode, so we're hoping to get her for a future episode on Muscle Girls, Inc.
Oh, I can't wait. I think our fans and listeners would love to hear from Gina. She's got so much going on, so we definitely put a shout out to her, and I look forward to having her on future episodes for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I know also she has a new DVD out, so I'd love to hear more about her new DVD. I saw her signing autographs at the Arnold and selling that new DVD, so I'm curious about that.
Oh, definitely.
So let's go into our first weekly segment, Colette. It's Did You Know? So this week, actually, we have some very juicy, juicy Did You Knows. And we have to, of course, thank our roving reporter, Carolyn Bryant, for these noteworthy facts.
Definitely. These are good this week, Chrissy, I have to say.
Oh, I must admit, I really enjoyed reading them. So I think our listeners will actually kind of like them, too. So let's roll into the first one, Colette.
All right.
So did you know that kids are getting high using cocaine vaginally and anally? And actually, you can find the clip on AOL, and it was featured on a doctor's reality show.
I mean, Chrissy, I mean, what next? You know what I mean? Wow. I don't even know what to say about that. I never would have thought of it, Chrissy. I don't know about you. I mean, maybe I don't think in that direction, but, you know, we've heard of like...
I don't know where kids are getting these ideas. Well, you know, is that enough to have to, you know, to be using that sort of substance, let alone in those manners? So that's not something that I thought of.
No, definitely not. Well, you know, on that note, since we're going in that direction, I mean, Chrissy, this is a good one. I mean, actually, this is rather sad, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I do say it with, I mean, all, you know, sadness involved here. Okay, a man who had throat cancer died after he convinced his wife to give him a sherry enema. Now, I know people are going, what am I talking about? But he actually was an alcoholic, okay, but he had throat cancer, so he couldn't drink the alcohol. So his wife gave him 2 bottles, 1.5 liter bottles of sherry. And that causes
through the enema.
Yeah, through the enema, and that causes blood alcohol to soar to, like, I guess it was 0.47%, which is almost 6 times the legal intoxication limit, and that was it. Basically, it causes alcohol poisoning, and he died.
Wow, that is... Well, that's another one. Who would think about putting sherry in a little enema and inserting it? But, you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, he did pass. And, you know, the gentleman's name was Michael Warner. He was 58, and he had a long history of alcoholism. But, you know, like you said, he had throat cancer, so he had so much pain to swallow by mouth that he actually couldn't ingest alcohol by mouth. So I guess they had to think of other options for him.
and what an option. You know, I guess what happens is, so if you're drinking alcohol, you're going to pass out, right? Hopefully before you, I mean, actually some people, you know, can die of alcohol poisoning, but when you're giving it that way, I guess it still gets ingested. Even if say you pass out, you're still absorbing it. And that's it for the poor guy. I mean, that was it. He died. Mm. And she was, you know, obviously that was like negligence on her part.
Yeah, actually, they said that the indictment actually said that, you know, by providing him with the alcohol in that manner, and by also she had destroyed his will, that they constituted as actually a criminal episode, believe it or not.
Wow, man, that's a great, the judge must have loved that one. That I could see on like People's Court, you know.
Did he really need alcohol that bad?
Yeah, that's what I say. Wow. Anyway.
So we found that interesting, but let's go into our next one. It's related to the NPC, And so, listeners, did you know that Miss Jen Cook was just promoted to head judge for MPC Texas? And as many of you know, she was formerly the MPC athlete rep for the state of Texas. But I didn't know this. I surely didn't. Colette, did you know about that?
First off, I didn't know we had MPC female reps for the state. I mean, who's yours for California?
Well, that, you know, that is the first question, actually.
Chrissy,
I
would like to know. Our listeners would like, no, Chrissy, since you won the Jeopardy, who is your female rep for California?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Okay, I didn't prep for this. I used to prep for those Jeopardies.
I know, right? No doubt. You know what I mean?
No, that is a very good question. Actually, I know who our Cali district chair people are. You know, it's Mr. John Lindsay, who we promote many of his shows. And up in the north, we have Mr. Steve O'Brien. But how about for New York? Who's your rep out in New York?
Well, for the metro area, you know, because New York is so ridiculous. It's so huge. So, like, the metropolitan area, you have Steve Weinberger over here at Bev Francis's gym. And then for the state, you know, we have Jimmy Raquel. But, again, Chrissy, I don't know. I don't know who our female rep is. I mean, that's we have to pose that to the listeners. Who is...
Yeah, listeners.
Yep.
We need your help out there. So, if you know the, you know... Cali, New York, or any other states who are female athlete reps are for the MPC, we would love to know.
Love to know. Love to know. Well, listen, here's another one. You know, people are so strange about relationships, you know, because, you know, look at me and Dave, and we're like the forever engaged couple, but, you know, you kind of have to laugh at yourself on the whole thing, but the whole dating scene is always interesting, and I was doing some, okay, listen, Chris, I was just kind of muffling through, trying to think, what's out there, you know, what's interesting about on the couple scene, and a very, very talented bodybuilder, Kim Perez. I heard this about a year ago circulating that she had found somebody special. And she actually, from what I've heard, and none of this is confirmed, but it's you know, I had a decent source. She said she's moving to Europe, and I'm so happy for her. I mean, that's got to be exciting to be with her honey, who is Luke Wood, who's from Australia and New Zealand. And they've been together for a while now. So I think that's always nice to hear, you know, to see, two people in love and doing their thing and, you know, going out. I mean, I can't even imagine moving to Europe. It's bad enough moving to Long Island. So it's like Europe. I don't know if I can do it, Chrissy.
I want to go back to the city.
I know. I'm like, whoa, Europe. That's love, Chrissy. That is so love.
No, yeah. It's not, like you said, moving, you know, within the state or even within the U.S. She's taking the jump all the way to Europe. So, you know, we wish her the very best to her and Luke. You know, that's great news.
And if there's any other couples out there that want to be, you know, outed on Muscle Girls Inc., please put it up on our new thread that we have in our forum. And Chrissy, thank you for starting that. And we'll go into that in a second when we talk about that. Okay. But definitely.
So, Colette, let's move into our next weekly segment. What is in the email bag?
I know. And Chrissy, believe it or not, people actually like have been emailing me that you either love this or hate the segment. I have like mixed feelings on it. I have a lot of people that are dying laughing over it. So, you know, people are like, or some people are like, oh, God, you know, I don't know. And I'm like, it's all in good fun. Nobody gets hurt, right? No names are mentioned. So
exactly. We're not doing it to be mean. You know, we actually enjoy receiving these emails and, you know, we just want to share it with our listeners.
It's good. It's all in entertainment. So Chrissy, can you beat your one that you did last week, which really I think was hysterical?
Did you like my photo that I found? I had to send you that email just so you knew what I saw on my computer screen while I was at work.
Oh, and it made the clear picture after you describing it. And I see I'm like, oh my gosh, Chrissy, this is good. This is good.
Well, I don't know if this week can beat it, but I'm going to try. And it's kind of along the same lines. So
oh, really?
I think, yeah.
You seem to have an affinity towards this subject. I just like the way you say the word, Chrissy. So I can't wait for you to read the email.
Yeah.
It has a little ring to it. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't know if I just attract these type of emails that involve, you know.
I don't know.
That male portion of the body or what. But, you know, this one actually came through work email, you know, because I totally enjoy answering, you know, supplement questions and, you know, training questions. But when I read this one, I was like, this one is just perfect. This is just priceless. So, all right, I got to share this one with you. Okay, so the gentleman begins, let me start off by just saying I personally love and use your product, Jungle Warfare, which is a product that is made by ALR Industries. And but I realized that it's a blue pill. So the blue pill that you're looking looks exactly like the penis enlargement pill called Extends. So he goes on, and okay, it gets better. You know, it gets all a little bit juicier, Colette. So he said, the reason why this is a problem, because when I'm out in public having a meal and I take my pill, people might just assume that I have a small penis.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Colette, so I'm continuing to read this. You know, there's still a little bit more. So he's like, so I just figured that I'd take the time to bring this to your attention and maybe possibly receive a couple of free bottles of Jungle Warfare for helping you. And he goes, but I just want you to know that I just don't want the people in the public to assume that my penis is small, but I will continue to take it, though.
Oh, my gosh. I still like the way you say it. I still like the way you say that word, Chrissy. It's just something about it. I do. I have to say, I got it. It's
so
amazing.
I'm like, I think he just wanted some free product. But, you know, the way he did it, you know, you have to give this guy a little credit, you know.
Very creative.
Yeah, very, very creative. Very creative. So, you know, of course, we did send him some free product, but then, you know what happens? 12 other emails, very similar, came away. So I think he's like, yo, buddies, you know, guess what? Just write this and you'll get some free product.
God. That's funny. So that's a good story. A very
cute.
Good story. I like that one. That's good. Mine's always a little dingier. I mean, this is, I swear to God, Christy, I don't know. I just find the ones for how do people think of this stuff? It just goes to show you, hey, I don't even care. Whatever you're into, that's cool. I don't know if I could see myself ever being into this, but here it goes. Dear Colette.
This should be good.
Oh, it's good. I am a schmo with simple needs. At least he knows who he is, you know? I need to drink the urine. I need to. This is what it says. I need to drink the urine of a dominant woman. Please consider wearing a posing top with no bottoms. Posing
no
for
bottoms,
me.
What?
No bottoms. Of course, no bottoms. Posing. But I have the top on. You know what I mean?
You're covered. Your top is covered.
I'm covered,
you're
right?
Okay.
It's all good. Posing for me and showing me your gorgeous muscles while squatting over a beer mug. If you would urinate in the beer mug while I watch, I will drink your golden nectar. And
oh,
I would be willing. Not only does that is not enough, right? I would be willing to pay you $300 for the service. I mean,
so he's going to pay you $300 for you to pee into the beer mug and for him to drink the
I mean, Chrissy,
nectar.
I don't want to drink my own. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? Definitely don't want to do it. And I mean, God forbid.
You get fun ones. You get fun ones.
God forbid I have pee anxiety, you know? And no doubt in a beer mug. I hope you know what I mean? I got to have good aim, you know? It's like, oh.
I was just going to say that. No, see, you get fun ones. Like, they think of fun tasks just for you and devices just for
devices
you to wear.
Devices for
you
me.
You get fun ones.
Beer mugs
you
just for me
ones.
To pee in. I mean, it's...
See, you get these fun ones. I just get, you know, the penis-related ones.
Yeah,
so.
I know, but I still like the way you say that. But anyway, Chrissy. Oh, my gosh. You know, I was mentioning earlier in the show, I was mentioning about how we want to involve the listeners. You know, I told you we were speaking about, you know, how do we get the listeners more involved? And I was actually watching CNN last night, and he's actually reading off little posts that they had on the email. I'm like, that's kind of what we want to do. When we started, well, actually, Chrissy, you were right on the ball. You started this forum mm-hmm. question on Muscle Central and in Women's Muscle, in the women's section of our forum, about asking you and I a question. Because, you know, you're a physical therapist, and I'm a registered dietitian, and, you know, or whatever question. It doesn't have to be necessarily related to nutrition or training, but... then we would read it on the air, and you know, it helps to get our listeners involved. And I think some of you guys have some really good questions to ask, and it just makes our show more interesting. So
yeah, I agree.
So I think we have a good question this week, and it was actually our first question. So you know,
we're actually getting a few questions. So you know, we appreciate everyone that's supportive of the show, and like Colette said, we just want you involved. You know, we want you part of the show, and you make us who we are. So we want to give back to you. So please do take the time. Whether it's a question or a suggestion or anything to help make the show better, you know, we're here for you.
Chrissy, I'm going to read the first part of the question, and, you know, you can, the kind of the prelude to the question. And
okay.
I want to say it's by Corvin25. We want to thank him very much. And here it goes.
Thank you, Corvin.
A huge reason the men's sport does well is the personalities, positive or negative, that the contenders portray and we are exposed to in the magazines and on the boards. Whether it's opinionated Gustavo Bedell telling Silvio he's got a tiny waist or he's too tiny, or laid-back Melvin Anthony cracking jokes, or even Ronnie saying, yeah, buddy. It's challenging people to deadlift 800 pounds 5 weeks out from the Mr. O. It's these personalities that make the difference.
All right, I just like the way you said, yeah, buddy. It was really
right?
cute. I think just added just a little bit more to Corvin's little question.
And then do you think if the women's fitness and bodybuilders open themselves up more to the public, there would be more success in attendance to the shows and subsequently more money? We love the physiques, but knowing more about the contenders as people really adds to the contest. What do you think, Chrissy?
You know what? I have to agree with Corbin. I mean, I'll have to admit, after having Monica and Iris on air with us before they competed, made me want to see them even more, knowing more about them as individuals. And, you know, a lot of people have so many other things going on other than being, you know, competitors and being on stage. So I think, you know, listeners like to, and fans like to know a little bit more about the person. And then I think it makes them that much more excited to see them on stage.
I mean, Chris,
I personally feel that way. What do you think?
I totally agree. Because, like, I'm going to put this on a crazy analogy. Say you fall in love with somebody, right? You can fall in love at the outside, but what do you really, that all fades. So say you look at a competitor and you see them for what they are, their beautiful body, it fades, Chrissy. It's not interesting. It's boring. If the person doesn't have some kind of personality, you're just over it. And you're over it in love, in a relationship, and you're over it as a fan. It doesn't, that's why the WWE is so successful. I mean, you are China. She had a personality. You fell in love with the personality. I mean, she was something to look at, but it was beyond that. I mean, there's no personality. And female, I mean, everybody's like, ooh, I love you. You're great. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's how women are. We tend to be like that. But there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of a personality, having a little bit of something, you know? And it would be nice if the magazines would let us be able to explore that.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that. Yeah, so I thought it was a great question. And yes, I do believe that, you know, if female athletes were to open up themselves up a little more in the public, whether it's through their websites, through blogs, or, you know, through the magazines, like you said, if the magazines gave women a little more exposure, I think it definitely would, you know, result in more monies and the fans wanting to go see them on stage and be like, wow, you know, I learned so many great things about this competitor. I want to see her on stage. And I think it makes it that much more exciting for them.
And I think, like, I mean, I hate to toot our own horn. You know how I hate to do that, Chrissy. But I think shows like this, I can't tell you how many people, I know you're with me on this, that are like, wow, I didn't know someone like Iris. And they like love her more than ever. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are like, I just don't really know that much about her. She is a pisser. You know what I mean? And they like, I think she has gained been exposed to so many more fans just by doing our radio show. And I mean, even radio shows in the past, it just gives her, they know her personality. They only see her from the outside. You have no idea how funny she is and her life, you know?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, like we showed that she was even on Wipeout. Like, I didn't even know she was on Wipeout till we had her on the show and she was really discussing and stuff and I had seen the clip. So, you know, all these female athletes, male athletes, you know, they have more than one dimension. You know, they have a lot of other things going on in their lives. And, you know, whether it's through other avenues like TV or commercials or through magazines, you know, I think the more they let their fans know, the more their fan base may grow.
I agree. Great question, Corbin.
Thank you again, Corbin. We greatly appreciate you. You were the first one that posted a question. So, you know, of course, we had to have you on air. So we thank you once again.
Bring it on, you guys. Start asking these questions. I mean, challenge us. We love it.
Colette, why don't we take a 2-minute break? And right after our break, of course, we will have the one and only Miss Julie Palmer on air for our guests.
I can't wait. Chrissy, see you in 2 minutes.
See you then.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then fuel your workouts with the great tasting and energy enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Javelle Rodaniania, and you are listening Muscle Girls Inc.
Our first guest had placed an impressive second place at the 2009 Miss Fitness International in Columbus. She's also competed on the Olympia stage 6 times, as well on the Fitness International stage 5 times. She's also the author of the ebook Food to Be Fit. She's promoting her own NPC show this year. Please welcome IFBB Fitness Pro Julie Palmer. Welcome to Muscle Girls Inc., Julie.
Hi.
Well, Julie, first off, congratulations on taking the runner-up position. I know it wasn't first, but you know what? Second place is not so bad, believe me. And you were unbelievable. Me and Chrissy actually were watching all the routines, and we were like, okay, Chrissy, let's take notes. So we were totally into this. I have to tell you, the 3 consecutive backflips in a row, awesome. Very impressive.
Amazing.
And both Chrissy and I always said, you know, she always comes in shape. You always are, you know, you're like a very consistent competitor. And that's probably hands down something that is in and of itself is impressive.
Thank you.
But tell us what you did. Like, did you do anything different in your training or your prep this year? I mean, do you keep pretty much static? Like, this is what works for me. Or do you kind of change it every year? Was there anything you did different?
As far as my physique goes, I pretty much stay consistent. I don't gain a lot of weight in the off season, and I'm kind of a busy body, so I'm constantly on the go and constantly moving and constantly doing cardio. And then for my routine, I definitely have changed a lot there over the past 2 years, I'd say. But this past year, I've stayed with gymnastics the whole entire off season and really worked with my coach on just putting together different tricks and things that I can put into my routine, so when it comes time to work on my routine, they're already done, and just trying to fit them with the music and working on those little skills and trying to make everything crisp and clean.
Do you just have one particular coach that you use for your gymnastics and your routines?
For my gymnastics, I do. I have one lady here in Columbus that I work with, and then actually this routine for the Arnold, Adela helped me with my music and coming up with my theme, and then she actually flew into Columbus and worked with me one day when she was in town she was here for 3 days, so we worked on my routine and made some changes to it.
Well, you look phenomenal. You always look phenomenal. We love your conditioning, and, you know, Adela's a sweetheart. She actually flew in early to help you, so that's great to hear. But I also noticed, you know, when I was in Columbus, I was training at a gym called Metro Fitness, and I saw a flyer that you actually promoted your own show this year.
Yes.
And I saw that you're also adding to bikini, and I was wondering if you can share your thoughts about this new NPC bikini division, and also tell our listeners a little more about your show that you're promoting.
Well, this is, I think, my 4th year for my show, and it's in Toledo, which is about 2.5 hours north of Columbus, Ohio. And I kind of started it with the intentions that I wanted it here in Columbus, and they wouldn't let me have it here in Columbus, so I took my first opening, which was up in Toledo, but it's grown and it continues to grow every year, and I've put it 3 weeks before Junior Nationals so that a lot of women and men can use it as a warm-up show, and we've gotten really good results from that. And then this year I've added novice figure as well as bikini.
And I mean, as a promoter, I mean, you know, Julie, does that help with promoting, you know, obviously entry fees? I mean, it's got to be in the benefit of a promoter to have bikini. It has to be.
Oh, I think it is. I don't know if you guys are aware that I kind of have a say with the Arnold Amateur as well, which was the first bikini show
of the year.
So that was kind of Mike Davies, my significant other, is the promoter of the Arnold Amateur, so I have a big part with that as well as getting ready for the show. But I think with the bikini, it's a great avenue for women who want to work out but not have a lot of muscle to be able to come and compete. I think it'll be really interesting to see what direction it takes off in. I know I didn't get to see any of the competition on Thursday evening at the Arnold, but I think it's a great avenue, and I think as a promoter, yeah, definitely, I think you're crazy if you don't add it to your show, because, like you said, it's a great way to make money.
I mean, when you...
go ahead.
Sorry, Chrissy. I was thinking on that lines with the bikini. Is there going to be... I mean, now, once you start a new division, you have, like, figure camps and... I mean, what is going to be like the walk? I know a lot of girls are asking me, like, can you help me with the bikini presentation? And I have to admit, I actually didn't go. I mean, is there a special type of walk that's going to kind of be the NPC way? Because I know I've seen them at INBF and I've seen them in other organizations, and they all kind of have a different thing. Like, you cross the stage, you turn around, some wear shoes, some don't. I mean, are we going to set kind of guidelines for the NPC bikini?
Right now, the guidelines are that the women can walk out any way that they want. And they do have to wear shoes.
Okay.
And that their suits can be store-bought or they can be the crystalled suits. That's totally up to the women. They can walk out and do their presentation however they feel appropriate. But when it comes to the call-outs, they have to stand with their feet together and their arms down at their side. They face front, and then they're told to turn around and do the same thing. So they can't stand, you know, with their feet apart or any kind of curves when they're doing their lineups.
Good.
Do they do quarter turns, or is it just front,
front and back?
Front and back. Okay.
Front and back, and then they go back into their lineup pose, you know, where you're in your relaxed stance, and they can stand however they want in their relaxed stance. But when they get caught out, they have to go front and back, feet together, arms at their side.
Good information. See,
so,
this is the place to listen. Where else are you going to get this information, Christy?
I didn't know if they were doing, you know, four-quarter turns like we're doing figure or, you know, that's why I had asked Julie if she did front and back. But Julie, since your show is right before Junior Nationals, is it a national qualifier then?
It is. I was very fortunate that I drew from a lot of states my first 2 years, so I kind of got an early national qualification my third year into it. So I think this is the fifth year actually for it, not the fourth. I'm so confused with all the shows.
I know. Julie, tell us more about, I'm personally very interested in about this, but how you started the Food to Be Fit e-cookbook. How long did it take you to write? Did you have a ghostwriter? I mean, how did you go about doing this?
Well, it kind of started with the fitness camps that we hold here in Columbus every weekend. I cook for the girls when they come in on Friday nights, and I always do a main dish and then a dessert. And we've been doing the camps for about 7 years. And just over the course of time, so many girls have requested that I put a cookbook together. And we have an express site called Fitness Factory Express where I post two recipes every month. And what I've done is I've just compiled them all and put them all into an e-cookbook. And the reason I did an e-book is that my goal is to constantly update with recipes as I continue to get more, so that people don't have to go out and buy another book. It'll just automatically click on when they go back into their ebook. Those new recipes will appear for them.
Now, is that on a membership basis? Is it like a monthly fee, or how does that work?
The e-cookbook is just a one-time cost, so you get an access code to it, and then you're able to download it as many times as you want pull it up. So you can print it off, or you can just leave it as something you look at on your computer.
Very nice.
Oh, that's great. So you pay one price and you get all the new
recipes
and everything without paying additional fees.
Correct.
Oh.
Very nice.
And I did have somebody who, you know, took it the time and put it all into the book format. I didn't do that at all. I just gave him the recipes and the photos that I've taken and just compiled them all together, and he did a great job compiling it all into the book.
Now, did you use, I'm a registered dietitian, so I use Nutritionist 5. Well, actually, it's Nutritionist Pro now. What did you use for your analysis software, and anything interesting on that note?
You know, I have a book that has all the calorie counts in it, and from that, I just mark all my little things down as I do them every week and how much I measure in and serving size, and from that we just came up with the calories and the nutritional breakdown. And you know, I tell people it's an approximated value.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
excellent. That's awesome. I have to tell you, it's a great idea. Great
Thank
idea.
You.
I knew you would like that you had it.
I know. I was like, oh, I love it.
There's a lot of good recipes. Some of them are, you know, a little bit healthier than others, and some of them aren't. But there's definitely not anything in there right now that I don't think anybody could truly diet on for a competition. But they're great cheat meals and great meals for families.
Great.
Oh, we like cheat meals.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Especially if they have peanut butter in them. I had to say it, Christy. I had to say it.
Julie, I actually have a few friends that have attended your Fitness Factory boot camps, and they said they had the tough time. It was grueling. It was exhausting, but they had a great time. And I was wondering, can you tell us a little bit more about these boot camps and where we can find more information about them?
The boot camps are taking place here in Columbus, and they run Friday through Sunday. We do them every weekend, and we take six girls every weekend. They fly in or they drive in, depending on where they come from, and they're here. They stay with us at our home, and they train with Mike Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They do five training sessions. They do a boot camp class. We offer posing and presentation for those who are competitors. We don't always have competitors who attend the camps. And then we do question and answer sessions two times throughout the weekend, and then they get nutrition and workouts as well when they leave. That's based on them and what their needs are. And the majority of the information is found on MikeDaviesFitness.com. And then we just ask the girls that when, if they are interested in registering for a camp, that they just contact us directly to set up the date. Because like I said, I only take 6 a weekend cause, since they stay here at our house.
Okay, so they should email you or Mike directly then?
Correct.
Okay. And what are the costs for these boot camps?
The first cost, if you're a first-time client coming for the first time, it's $500 for the weekend. And then we have a lot of girls who come back numerous times, and it's $250.
It's very reasonable.
Yeah. And we come and get you at the airport and take you back so you don't have to worry about transportation. You don't have to worry about room and board when you're here. Like I said, I feed the girls when they're here. So
great. Yeah. Julie, I saw on your website that you're also a registered nurse and also at a children's hospital. Are you still practicing?
I still am.
Oh, my gosh. You're incredible.
Yeah, I don't do it a lot. I'm contingent, which means I make my own schedule. Mm-hmm. I go in when I kind of want to go in, and I have a little recorder that I call into and say I want to work on this day at this time, and then I call back that morning and see if I'm needed and what floor I work on. But I still work, and I usually do 4-hour shifts instead of a whole 8-hour shift just because I'm doing personal training as well. And they're very flexible with me at the hospital, which is great.
I mean, have you always worked with children or have you worked with other populations?
No, I've always worked with children. I have no desire to work with adults.
I know, right? There's so much. I mean, what's the hardest thing that you've had to see or to deal with working in a children's hospital? I can only imagine.
When I first started nursing, I was in oncology, which is kids who have cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
So I did that for about 5.5 years straight, and that's probably the toughest because you become attached to those families and those children, and unfortunately, at times, children do die, and it's not always a positive outcome. So watching a child who you've cared for you know, anywhere from a month to 3 years pass away is probably the hardest thing.
That's so hard not to internalize.
Ugh. It's very hard, and that's kind of why one of the reasons that I went to contingent is that it started to take effect that I would get really depressed at home and be really upset, and it just started to take its toll in my personal life, and it was a change that needed to be made. But I still love working on that floor. I just don't have the attachment to the children anymore.
Yeah, it's totally different, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to be hard because I had worked with children, too, as a pediatric physical therapist. And like you said, you know, you build a relationship with, you know, the children and their families, and you know, seeing a child suffer from some type of ailment is just heartbreaking.
Right.
Julie, would you ever consider doing, I hate to even say it because we had the earlier joke, but would you ever consider doing figure? I mean, I even hate to say it because I kind of know where this is going. But
you know, I don't, there's times that I think, yeah, I will. And there's times that I think, you know, if I ever am done with fitness, that I would like to have a child of my own because I don't have my own child. And then come back and do a figure show, and that would give me a reason to get back in shape.
Right.
But and then there's times I think, gosh, I'd be really bored if I just did figure because I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
I know, you're
in
such
all my free time.
You're such a performer and everything, and you know, I guess it would be hard not to have the outlet because I know I love to perform and dance, and that's what I loved about bodybuilding. And it's hard to you know, to give that aspect up, I assume.
But I'll never say never because you never know what the future holds. And. And so I never tell people that I would never do it. I just think that it'd be very hard for me being, because when I started, there was no figure. It's always been fitness. So when I started competing 12 years ago, there wasn't a figure division. So I grew up with fitness, and that's all I really know.
Yeah.
Well, you would be missed on a fitness stage if I could do figure. But I'm saying that because I don't want to compete against her.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's
a really good
If I don't want to see fitness, you don't have to worry. No reason right now, anyways.
Well, Julie, I always see you at the GNC booths and at a lot of the expos and shows and stuff. Are you still sponsored by GNC?
I still am, and I actually appear in Cleveland next at the beginning of April. So, and I've been with, I think I've been with them for about 5 or 6 years now, and they're great. They're a wonderful company to work for.
Give some advice to other competitors out there because everyone's always like, how do I get a sponsorship? You know, how do all these women get sponsors? Can you give some tips to some of our listeners who may be trying to obtain a sponsorship?
I think the best thing is I tell girls that even come to the house for camps, you know, it's really hard to get a sponsorship nowadays, especially fitness and figure athletes. The best thing to do is find somebody local in your community who's looking for help, like different GNC stores or Metrex. We have a lot of contacts here in Columbus that is fortunate for us that are always looking for girls in different parts of the country. And so I always try to give girls work when I know they can get work. The Arnold, the Olympia, your two biggest shows, people always want booth workers. So if you're available and you do a really good job for those companies, chances are they'll continue to use you in the future, and that's the best way to hopefully line up a deal somehow. But it's hard, and, you know, I think girls get misinterpreted what it is to work in a booth. They think it's all glitz and glamour, but it's hard work, and it's work.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell them too. You know, if you're going to ask to be sponsored by a company, know that you're going to have to work, but do a good job working for them.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Because, like you said, I think a lot of girls think, "Wow, I get to work at a booth," and they think, "Oh, I'm just going to smile, take pictures, and market myself."
It's way more than that.
But it's a lot more than that.
Well, Julie, we have to ask the personal question, and everyone wants to know or is curious about how everything's going with you and Mike, how long you guys have been together, and you know, he's a well-known figure in our fitness world. And so what's next for you guys? I don't know. Are you guys married yet? I mean, look, me and Dave are forever engaged, so what's the current status?
I think we're on that forever engaged right now. He says he refuses to marry a fitness competitor. So until I retire, there's no marriage in my future.
So me and Dave have been together for, I think since 2002. So I don't even
I have you beat.
You do have me beat? I love it. I thought
we've
I was
been
really
together 9 years. And we're going on our 10th year. So
I see, there's nothing. Christy, I'm not alone. We're six. I think we're going to, you know, I don't know about you, but it's like me and Dave are like, you know, we're not ready to have children, and I don't know when we will be, but the same emphasis isn't the same, you know, when you're, we're so crazy. Our lives are so crazy.
Right. So, I mean, he's a wonderful guy. He takes great care of me. I couldn't complain at all. And we live together, and we've lived together for, I don't even know how many years. It hasn't been nine, but probably seven. And, you know, people tease him all the time, and he just, last week somebody said something. He goes, "I'm not marrying a fitness competitor. I'll marry her when she's no longer a fitness competitor.
That's great.
I'll marry
love
a
it.
Retired fitness competitor," is what he says.
That's the best thing ever. I love it. That's great.
So he will marry a retired fitness competitor.
Yes, he does, and he talks about it. So I have to give him some credit there. He does talk about it, and he always asks, like, you know, who would be in my bridal party and where I want to get married and do I want to have a big wedding. And so he does ask the questions that lets me know at some point in my life it'll come.
That's great.
Julie, let's let our listeners know what else is on the horizon for you for this year. We know you have your show. We know you're working as a nurse and you have all these camps. So what else are you going to be doing this year?
As far as competitions go, I am probably going to hold off until the Olympia. I'm going to try to fill my upper body out a little bit. I was a little bit too small, I think, at the Arnold. And just really continue to work on my routines because that's where I continue to struggle. Maybe Atlantic City, depending. I haven't talked about it. I sprained my ankle, actually, in the night show of the Arnold.
Oh.
And if you go back and watch the video, you can see I roll my ankle pretty bad. So I had plans to possibly compete at the Europa show in April, but it's pretty beat up and bruised right now, so walking is even a task. But that's kind of my goal with competitions as far as what I'm going to do next is the Olympia, and then I'll be out, and GNC has me pretty busy all year, so I'll be out with them, and just, we have lots of girls who fly in every weekend and camps and posing here, so Mike's little boys keep me busy, so I'm busy every single day in my life. I don't really know if I'm coming or going some days.
Well, good luck to you and
you.
With rehabbing your injury. And
yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Seeing you on that Olympia stage.
I never would have thought it. Did you, Chrissy? I mean, we watched the routines.
We watched the routine at the night show, and you wouldn't even think you turned your ankle. You finished that routine strong from start to end.
I think it was adrenaline. I think I was just in my zone, and it didn't phase me, but it's okay. You know, it's healing, and I'm kind of a hard-nosed person. I keep doing cardio on it, and I would just lay off of it, it'd probably be better in 2 weeks versus 4 weeks. But
yep, just like me and Chrissy.
Yep.
Julie, thank you so much, and really, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and it means a lot to us and our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Monica Brand, and you're listening to Muscle Girls, Inc. with Colette and Chrissy.
Our next guest gained pro status after winning the light heavyweight class at the 2005 Nationals in Atlantic, Georgia. She most recently placed second at the Miss International 2009, beating seasoned veterans such as Diana Cadeau and Yaxini Oroquin. The woman I am talking about is none other than Debbie Leshefsky. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., Debbie.
Well, thanks for having me. Debbie, hello. Okay, Debbie, let's start off. At the 2000 USAs, you walked out onto that stage and you were, I thought and many thought that you were the clear winner and you ended up placing seventh. And then you disappeared from the scene for a little bit. Why did you leave the sport and decide to come back in 2005 at Nationals?
I left, I think I did a few shows after that. My placement just, I think, dropped. I think I did a national that dropped. And I guess I was a little disheartened at that placing, but at the same time, I just kind of get over it after about maybe 24 or 48 hours. And I try to look at it, you know, in a perspective that judges had to do what they had to do and making a point with how they're choosing to run the industry. And I respect their decisions with those ideas. I think some of the philosophies they had at that time was to have a feminine, softer look. And I think, you know, for a year thereafter that placing in the 2000 USAs, they tried to implement that. And I think it didn't work as well as they thought. So nonetheless, they went back to the old standards, which great. I think during that time frame, I just sort of kind of readjusted my thinking patterns. I was moving to Florida and some things just, you know, I did another show after that and my placements went down. I just had to readjust my body and look at it from a different perspective. I needed a little time off. So upon doing that, I had to have shoulder surgery because I had a shoulder injury happen at that same time. And I had to have total reconstruction of my right shoulder. Everything was destroyed in my shoulder from bicep tendon, AC, you name it, my rotator cuff, torn labrum. And they said I would never really, they said you'll never lift again. You can't. It's completely destroyed. There's nothing holding your shoulder together anymore. So I really worked hard with a goal in mind saying, when someone tells you never, you're like, yeah, I can do this. So I spent 2 years rebuilding it on my own. And then that's when I, you know, obviously probably going to lead me into the next question with Southern States, made a comeback. So.
Wow. Well, Debbie, you obviously, look, I was so excited for you at the New York Pro. We were there together and you placed fifth, which is awesome because that was a very hard show. I mean, there were some really good people there at that show. So you obviously like rededicated yourself, but I mean, you came out.
It wasn't my mark. It wasn't my mark yet. I was
right.
Still off.
Yeah. You were, yeah. You told me like, you know what, Colette, I'm not where I really want to be. So what did you do differently? Because when you came on that stage, it was like, I can't even tell you the buzz. Everyone's like, oh my God, Colette, Debbie could win. She's second place. Oh my God. You know, so it was a huge buzz. Your body looked insane. You were in sick shape. What did you do, Debbie? What did you do differently?
I kept it very simple. Keep it simple, stupid. KISS method. There's so many things, I think, in the midst of training. Since the New York Pro, I've been training the Arnold, hoping I'd get another invite, because as we all know, my 12th place finishing Arnold last year for my first Arnold was the most humiliating and embarrassing show I think I've ever done in one of the greatest shows in the world.
Right.
I'm my worst critic. So I look at myself and even after this Arnold now, I'm still looking at it. And I'm like, this week I start training for the Olympia. So I'm even making changes as we speak. But I just did not like I was really upset about that. So I just made an earnest effort to just go forward and look at what I was doing and what I wasn't doing. And sometimes we look at what we aren't doing than what we should be doing. I think, if that makes any sense. Sometimes what you're doing is exactly all you need to do. And to be honest with you guys, my training was dead on all year, and I was real specific, but my diet, I kept it the same as I did through the year, and I made the smallest adjustments from 5 minutes of cardio changes a week to maybe 10 carb changes a week. And honestly, I never did more than 45 minutes the last 2 weeks of before this last Arnold.
Oh my
gosh.
And
do you do your own prep?
No, I mean, I never did. And my conditioning was right at the top.
Oh, definitely. Your conditioning was sick.
I didn't do more than, I never did double cardio, it was nothing. But I kept my food even very simple. I ate the way I ate all year. And I just knocked down some of those numbers, and it just, I kept it. It did nothing extreme. And I think my body responded better.
Did you handle your own diet and make the adjustments on your own based on how you're looking?
Yeah, and I worked also with a trainer, George Farah, and him and I, you know, did that together. And he kept it with me very simple. He said, your body doesn't need all these extreme things that you've been doing. It's just very simple, small changes.
I mean, Debbie, do you still train heavy? Do you train more rep? I mean, what's your usual typical rep scheme and your typical training pattern?
Usually 5-6 days a week, and my off season usually I do 12-15 reps, 10s maybe. I never really go below 10s. For the show, as the show got closer, as you know, being the competitor and all, you know, you increase those. I was doing, you know, before the show, I'll be honest, probably 4 or 5 weeks before the Arnold, my leg days were 800 reps a day.
Wow.
So my back days were 400 to 500 a program.
Wow. Okay.
So I was doing pretty intense 4 to 5 weeks out intensity, training legs twice a week.
Yep.
And my reps were probably 1,600 a week.
I mean, do you split your legs? Like, I do my quads, like on Monday, and hamstrings, or do you do actually two full leg days?
Two full leg days.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes I split them, but then, you know, I just did some different things with my hamstring. I did some agility work this year, too.
Cool.
So agility work changed my whole entire body, and people don't believe in that, but I think once your body's built a certain way, agility work can work with all those tiny fibers. So I came up with some really cool things that I do with that, with my training in the off season as well.
It makes it interesting too. I mean, we've been training a long time. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, it's time for something new.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are trying new things now, and even jujitsu. I know some figure and fitness competitors actually started doing jujitsu for part of their cardio now.
Yeah, that's true. I see that. Shannon Day does camps down here, and she has all of them doing a variety of just fun, you know, fun things.
Yeah.
Keeping their bodies in that, you know, place. But it's cool. It's cool to see.
Debbie, you know, back in 2000, after you had that 7th place finish and you were disappointed with that, did you ever consider possibly doing figure competitions?
No, I don't know really where that came from, but I think we all have said it. We've all been those girls. I think we've all said it, you know, but there, I don't think my body could ever do that. I don't know if I'd have to cut my body in half or something. I don't know if I could do that. I couldn't just work out.
You know, I couldn't work out for a year. You know, you have a beautiful look. So I think a lot of people thought, you know, maybe she might do figure, you know,
I think I'd be too big, you know, Carla Salati, she tried it. It didn't, you know, she says, I felt like Pitbull in the back. She said, because I'm little, and they were all littler than me. You know, it was cute. You know, I saw her this last week in the Arnold, and she's like, it just didn't work, you know. But I think once you're deemed as a bodybuilder, I think, you know, a lot of girls have done that in a sport. They've gone back to figure, even fitness to figure. It doesn't always work.
Well, Debbie, throughout your career, like, I'm thinking, like, when I saw you, like, when you were during that stint where you weren't really as actively competing, what was your weight fluctuation? I mean, were you like, have you always stayed pretty much at, look, I don't go above this certain weight, or were you smaller? Did you have to put on more muscle when you started competing again, or did you lose a lot of muscle with the injury when you had the shoulder surgery? I mean, any major fluctuations there, or?
When I took that 3 years off, I think when I came back to the Southern States, I was probably weighing 138, and then I competed at 138. So when you start eating more food and focusing on a show, you build your body up, your fat comes down, and then you round your body out through all your supplements and your eating. You know, obviously you just build it and round it out. But I never really, I obviously when I made my comeback and did the Southern States, I had to put muscle back on and I was training and competing and your body just, you know, responds after you do a show, you put muscle on immediately that month after. We all know that. And then I just kept kind of building more muscle up from there. But even with the Arnold, I started at, I think I weighed that day 140, 139. I was at the Arnold 139 and I started at 148 with my diet. So I usually vary like 8 pounds in my off season.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. That's probably why you can get in such good condition too. I always say like major flaw that I have, but I mean, if you stay closer to your contest weight, it just makes sense though. Your skin's going to lay closer to the muscle. You're going to look better. It's just bottom line.
Daddy,
you mentioned that you had that shoulder surgery and you had a total reconstruction and stuff. Did it affect your training at all getting ready for the Arnold this year?
This year, no, because it's been, you know, some time. I'm always aware of it. You know, I see, you know, I have to have massage therapy and body work done and chiropractic work done routinely along with it. But I just vary my workouts accordingly. But I don't really have, I should say, much limitations, maybe a couple exercises limiting on my hand grip. But I've just kind of worked around it now.
Well, that's exciting.
So you have full range and full strength in your shoulder now?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it knots up once in a while, but, you know, you just work around that.
Well, Debbie, you are, you know, I always say this, and you know, you're one of the most beautiful competitors on stage. And, look, we all feel this. I feel this. You feel this. A lot of people feel this. But do you feel the pressure that I need to get bigger and better, or are you more at the cost of your femininity? I mean, where are you at in that place where you start to see, what's next for me? Where do I go? I mean, at what cost benefit do you find with that?
Well, I appreciate all that. I guess that's been on my mind, especially now going forward and getting ready for the Olympia, what choices I have to make going forward. I feel, you know, in what I just accomplished, my biggest goal for me right now is to stay consistent at every show.
Okay.
Every show would be a hair bit better, consistent at every show. That is my goal for as long as I do this. Now, I want to always maintain a feminine look, so I'm not going to give up something to get that bigger because I'm going to give up my look or something. I want to maintain my look because I think that's what makes us each unique with what we're bringing into the sport. And I want that to be something that contributes a positive view from the public for our sport, is to keep the femininity going, not only for that, but for myself and for life after bodybuilding. But at the same time, I believe, as I've done with, you know, even with this show, I made changes, improvements with my symmetry and balance this year. And I know how, I know it's thickened my back, widen out my quads a bit more. And there's some things more I want to do, but I know what it took to do that. So I don't feel I'll have to make any sacrifices of my femininity to do that going into the Olympia.
Well, I don't think,
and I won't.
Like I said, I don't think bigger is always better.
And no, I don't either.
It really is not. When you have the proportions right, bigger just doesn't always look better. It's like, you know, I think you're so perfect right now. You know, like you said, just refinement, further detailing, you know, whatever, just to keep that vision that you have in your mind portrayed to the audience, you know, and portrayed to the judges. So,
and I think, you know, placing between Iris and Yekzeni to me is an accomplishment. It's a win to me.
No kidding.
You know, I told them it's an honor to be up here too. I mean, who's to say everybody's got a different look? It's not like one, you know, you're still close and it's just a different look you're bringing. It's not like someone's better than someone else. You're all up there and you're all, you know, all of us that were up there, we're all trying to achieve something, but we're so, you know what I'm trying to say, Colette, the margin's so close to how people are just different body types, and it's like in blondes and brunettes. I mean, everybody's different. But to be up there, to me, I've succeeded just where I've placed. And if I can stay consistent with my placings like this, I'm happy.
Yep, totally.
You know?
Did you ever think that you would be in a position to play second at the Arnold, standing next to Iris and Yekzeni?
No, and I almost died when it was happening. I didn't even know what was happening. I was so focused on, okay, I want to get in the top six to get six to qualify for the Olympia. That was all that I worked on in my mental state all year. I respect these athletes at the top. I think they're wonderful. I've admired them. I strive to, you know, we look at them and we strive to go forward to be, you know, as successful, as great as they are, and their physiques and the changes and the consistency. And my biggest thing was just being consistent and hitting the top six for the Olympia. That's what I wanted to do. And then as it was happening on stage, it was like, honestly, I had tears. I was like a surreal experience. I was happy when I got called out and I stood there. I was like, yay, I made the Olympia. That's what went through my mind.
Right, right. I mean,
I didn't even know what was happening at the time when I was up there in the comparisons until I thought about it. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe what just happened.
I mean, Debbie, I mean, I'm going to say this because Iris was on our show, the very first show. I truly do believe, and I mean, this is not like someone ass kissing, but I really think she is probably very difficult to beat. And I think she's one of the best bodybuilders that we'll probably ever see. I mean, at 34 years old, yeah. No injury. She's unbelievable. Do you sit home at night ever and think, I can beat Iris? I mean, is that something that you think about or that you even concern your daily life with, or you want to be Miss Olympia one day? I mean, you get those feelings of grandeur like, oh, I want to be Miss Olympia. I want to be Miss International. I mean, what goes through that head of yours?
I think in my mind, of course, we all want to strive to be, you know, accomplish goals because that's what, you know, gets us moving. But the only person that can beat Iris, I believe, is Iris.
I know. Yeah.
And I have a completely different look. I'm not trying to compete and beat Iris.
Right.
I, you know, they might say, we want to market this. We want to market that, or we want this. We want to, you know, let other people win. I don't know what the judges are going to do that day. All I know is I have to be consistent, try to look better and better and better. And if I can do that, whatever they choose, they choose. Yep. Would I love to be Miss Olympia and have that title? Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
But I respect her to such a, I mean, I look at her lines and her body, I'm like, wow, you know, it's crazy.
It
you
is
know?
Crazy.
But
it's apples and oranges. It's like you said, it's what they want to promote. It's not even like one of the others better. It's just what they want to, what the look is that moment, you know?
Right. And that's how I think about it. You know, I think you'd have to see Iris be off. And, you know, that can happen. As athletes, that can happen to us. But she's pretty bang on consistent.
I know.
I think
it's going to be interesting.
I felt bad beating Yekzeni. When I was up there on stage, I said, I'm sorry, I beat you.
I know. That's great. That's cute. That's good. Oh, God.
So, on a personal note, Debbie, is there a special person in your life now? Are you dating someone? Because we're always talking about significant others and during competitions, if they're supportive or not. So we're wondering if you're currently dating anyone.
I've been dating someone for about 9 months, and he works out and does all that. He's totally in a different industry. He doesn't bodybuild, but he was super supportive in this. But it was very new for him and unfamiliar territory. You know how that can be rough water sometimes. Mm-hmm. But he's wonderful. He was great with me with this show, and he actually is really excited about it. He's really involved in like the blogs now because he's really involved in the women's bodybuilding, even more than the men, because he thinks it's fascinating. But he loves like those top six. He likes everybody in the top six, and he has great things to say about everybody. But one thing about him is very constructive with me, and he can say things as harsh and as you know, straight up with me as an athlete, because he was an athlete himself. He played pro rugby and like European football and stuff. So he's really into the athletic mind. And one thing he really did well, much just, you know, supporting me on a day-to-day basis, but he really told me to go with my gut instincts. He said, Debbie, in preparation for this show, what does your gut tell you to do as far as who to use with you, as far as on your team, your suits, your music, how you should view it? What does your gut tell you? And I, for once, this show, listen to my gut. Like my suit, I designed my entire suit. I had a woman design the entire cut of my suit from scratch.
That's great.
And it was the best suit I think I've worn. But you know, I just, very little things like that, you know, all the people that I worked with, a team of people, I paid some people to even push me through my workouts, so I didn't have to push my, you know, I mean, I could push myself, but I wanted all that little extra edge, just that mental focus was there.
Well, I think you definitely got everything together with your team, because you were just beautiful on stage and your routine was beautiful. And you know, we were just so excited to see you play second. So, you know, congrats again about that.
Well, thank you. I was shocked.
You know, Debbie, we started the RX Muscle site, and there's on my thread, it's so funny. They're like, Colette, do you know anything about Debbie Leshefsky? And I'm like, it's like so funny that they're like, you know, because you are a private person. You really don't post much. You're not really much into the message boards. You really keep to yourself, and which is probably very smart. But what, I mean, some of your relationships have been public in the past. I mean, what have you learned from previous relationships and from that that you can bring into your current life?
What have I learned? Well, I think we've all had, you know, ups and downs in relationships. You know, I just, you know, your relationships are what they are. You know, two people, you know, it doesn't mean one person's bad, one person's good, whatever. Just two people sometimes don't mesh. It doesn't work. And you move on, and you just move on and look for what's going to work for you in a relationship, as a teammate, as a person that can be by your side. You know, all those different facets you're looking for as a person in your life. So whatever those things are, you're the only person that can make that decision. Onlookers cannot. They're not in a relationship with you. They don't know both sides. And so people make judgments and criticize and whatever opinions and gossip they want to say. I don't care. I mean, people can say whatever they want. People who know me know whatever, the truth and things. I don't know. I don't really, like you said, I don't post a lot about that. But, you know, I guess I take my experiences, I go forward, and when I'm looking for a mate, I look for things that I know that I want or I don't want. And that's the experiences I take with me. And I just move on from the situation. And I don't look back and live and dwell in those bad things.
Good advice. Good advice. You know? Yep. Good advice.
Yeah, it's very good points. Because, like she said, you know, not everyone knows what's going on in your relationship and hear both sides. And you might only know one side, and people are just so quick to assume or gossip and just talk all the time.
And who really cares?
I know. I agree. Who really cares? Totally. It's so true. Like,
people can look at a couple and say, why are they together? Who cares?
Who cares?
Does it really matter?
It's a good point. Yeah.
If people are nice to me, respectful to me, that's all that matters to me. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Debbie, so what's next for you? Are you going to wait for the Olympia, or you might jump on stage before that, you think?
Oh, no. I'm doing the Olympia. I start my training this week for the Olympia. There's some things that we've already put into place that we're going to do to even make my body even better for the Olympia, and it will be. I'm praying it will be. So,
no Atlantic City, no jump,
nope.
Nah. I think that's smart.
Nothing. No.
Huh?
I think that's smart. I mean, why?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's smart, too.
You got one thing to focus on. That's going to be the most exciting. Oh, my gosh, Debbie. You're putting yourself at placing, you know, you've already set the bar. So it's like, okay, you know, they want to see that consistency. They want to see a little improvements. And you can do that. I mean, why not? Why can't you place top three at the Olympia? Why not?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
All right.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for taking the time. It really means a lot to us. And I know our listeners are dying to hear about you. And it was really great. You did a wonderful job.
Well, thank you very much, Clinton. You guys, it's thanks for having me on and supporting me and stuff. So I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Debbie. We love you.
You're welcome.
Love
you guys.
Take care.
Well, Chrissy, I think that was a great show.
I agree. We had another two great guests, and we thank you both, Julie and Debbie, for taking the time out of their busy, busy schedules for stopping by on our show.
And I think we have something planned very different for next week's show, and I'd like to share it with our listeners this week so that they can be prepared for next week or even possibly be involved. So, you know, next week we wanted to address something that I think most women, and especially those women that compete, can relate to, and that's eating disorders.
I think it would be a great topic to talk about, and I remember even back in high school where, you know, I saw a lot of it even going around back in high school, and it was worse in college and sororities and stuff, and like you said, even as competitors, I think it's a little more common than people think. And we're not just talking about even just anorexia and bulimia of it, too, because I know you mentioned a couple others that I never even heard of, related to eating disorders.
I mean, it's gotten interesting in our sport, especially. I think, you know, we're not, you know, binge eating, we understand, but there's sham eating. That's where you're chewing your food and you're not swallowing it. You're spitting it out. There's something called arthrorexia, which I see all the time, where people basically are afraid to eat anything that's not on their diet. I mean, year-round, you know, 365, you know, every single day of their life. And even rituals, like I'm not going to eat after 5 p.m. or I'm going to starve myself one day and eat the next. So it's like an every other day plan. Chrissy, I've heard some really, you know, disturbing ways of eating. And I really think it needs to be addressed.
I agree. That's why, you know, listeners, if you're listening to our show, please speak up. You know, we would love to have you come on. Even if you don't want to disclose your name, that is fine. But if you would like to talk about your issues with food, you can either email us or you can post a question on our forums. You can PM us, you know, any way that you feel comfortable. You know, we know it's a, you know, sensitive topic, but, you know, you can find us on rxmuscle.com. And you can either go in the Muscle Central section or also in the women's section. And like I said, we would love to have one of our listeners on the show or even a couple of our listeners on the show. And we don't have to disclose your name. Like I said, you know, we can keep that disclosed. But I know it's very sensitive and we are just looking for feedback and we just want to give more to our listeners. So we found this would be another way.
I mean, I think the stories will help. And I think sharing them will help other people feel that they're not alone. So, I mean, I want the show to be empowering and enlightening at the same time.
I think that's a wonderful idea. So please, everyone, speak up.
Yep. Don't be afraid. I think this is going to be really, really great and really helpful for everybody. Well, Chrissy, we did it again. Until next week, remember, Muscle Girls, Inc. It's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RXMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RXMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.